You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week on Home Base, we have special guest Wendy Copley with us. We talk about kids, nutrition, and her book, Everyday Bento. You guys aren't going to want to miss this one, so stay tuned. Hey there, guys. This is your lovely Home Base Podcast host, Megan Poteet, here with another episode. How's everybody's weeks going? My week was pretty good. Pretty nice week. We got lots of snow this week, and thankfully, then it rained and it melted it all. So, I know I've been looking forward to snow, but now we're like far enough in January, I'm like, we could just skip winter completely, like bring on spring. And my husband very disappointedly pointed out to me the other day that we're not even 1 month into winter. I was like, no, that's such a depressing thought. But so we're back to our grass and no snow, it all melted. So, but we'll see how that holds up tomorrow. It's supposed to be really chilly. Ugh. So all you people that are loving your beachfront homes and, you know, sandy shores and warm weather, I'm envying you right now. So, but other than that, let's see what else happened this week. So I wanted to share with you guys this little story. So I took my son to the dentist, his first dentist appointment. When he had his 1 year checkup back in December, I asked the pediatrician, because my son has six teeth, I was like, you know, when do I take him to the dentist? First kid, I don't know. And our pediatrician said, you know, they're like, you can take him now. Normally right around one or whenever they start getting teeth is a good time to take them. They'll show you how to brush their teeth and, you know, all that. And so I was like, okay, so I find this pediatric dentist that they recommended. It wasn't their first recommendation. So we love our pediatricians. I'm not throwing them under the bus, but this was their second recommendation. But it was a pediatric dentist. So I make this appointment. They mail me the paperwork, which it's like this microscopic paperwork. Their paperwork are seriously half sheets, and everything is super tiny. And like, I have this big bubbly handwriting, and I had to write on these teeny little spaces. So I fill out all this paperwork, okay? We show up 5 minutes early to our appointment, and we get in there, and it is this tiny little waiting room that I think maybe eight people, I think there were maybe eight chairs. Okay, so tiny. And there's like sea creatures painted on the wall. There's no toys. Pediatric dentist, no toys in the waiting room. There was a couple Highlights magazines, and that was it. So I'm sitting there with a one-year-old, and there's no entertainment. I thought surely they would have stuff in the waiting room. There always was in my dentist growing up. And so I left all of the toys in the car. I didn't bring any snacks because, you know, my kid's about to get his teeth clean. I'm not going to, like, give him a bunch of snacks right before. You know, you try to, like, give the impression that you're at least attempting to keep their teeth clean, right? So we're sitting there. We get there early. That way I was hoping, like, when it came up to our turn, be right on time. I don't know what I was thinking. We sat there for half an hour. So for half an hour, I'm in this tiny waiting room with a one-year-old who does not want to sit in my lap. He's all over the place. He's tearing their blinds up. And finally, after half an hour with no entertainment, we got to go back to our room. So we go back to our room, and they give him a toothbrush, and he's walking around. And there's toys in the room, thank goodness. Not that he's playing with them, because he has a toothbrush, so he's super excited about that. So he's marching around with his toothbrush, and they start, you know, talking to me, the dental assistants. And so they do their little spiel. And then they go out. Another dental assistant comes back in. She brushes his teeth. And instead of having like a chair for, you know, I was assuming it would be in like a dental hygienist chair and he would just like lay on my chest or something. We would both lean back. No. They had him straddle me and we were chest to chest. And then I had to lean his head back into a stranger's lap who's wearing a mask, and I had to pin his arms down to the side while they brushed his teeth. So there was no, like, they didn't you know, they just came in with masks on. There wasn't any, like, come in and show him the mask you're gonna put over your mouth. Like, I felt like they just kind of rushed right into it. And I'm like, this is this kid's first visit to the dentist. You're just gonna come in with a mask on and expect to pry things into his mouth. Like, so needless to say, he cried profusely. And she finished brushing his teeth and she went out. And then the dentist finally comes in. So now we've got the dentist in here and he wants to do the same thing. And he is looking at his teeth and wants to look at his teeth. And so I'm sitting here pinning my child down. My child is screaming, his tears going down his eyes. I feel horrible. I'm about to cry. And the dentist is in there and he was supposed to just be brushing on fluoride, seeing how many teeth were in there, and then getting out, you know, right? Like in and out. Let's get in and out of his mouth and be done. He's screaming. The dentist gets in there and starts looking around, pauses with his hands in my child's mouth, and starts talking to me about how I'm such a great mom, that I brought my child in this young, and how I'm being so proactive, and how great that is. And I'm looking at him going, are you kidding me right now? Yeah. I get it. Mom of the Year award. But you get your hands out of my kid's mouth. He's crying. Like, just finish what you're doing. Oh, it was so traumatizing. And then it was over, and he cried all the way out to the car. It was just mortifying. And really, all they did was brush his teeth and give me a toothbrush and told me to come back in 6 months. So if there's anyone out there that is wondering if you should take your one-year-old to the dentist because you're not sure and you've read online and you've seen that it's the recommended thing to do, if you don't see any immediate concerns in their mouth, just buy a toothbrush and start brushing their teeth. Don't waste your time. It was so traumatic and awful, and I feel so bad for taking him. And needless to say, we're gonna shop around and see if we can find a better dentist. I was not impressed. I felt like they just were not very nice, and so, but yeah, so bad mom experience this week. I had to share. But if there's anybody out there that can reminisce and feel my pain, there's probably a lot of you that are like, seriously, you took your one-year-old to the dentist? Because that seems to be the consensus. When I've asked other people if they've taken their kids, they all look at me and go, yeah, I took them when they were like 3 or 4, and that was their first visit. And I'm like, man, why did I go? Why did the doctor tell me to go? Oh well, it's over and done. We have a cute little toothbrush now, and we have some training toothpaste that doesn't have any fluoride in it. I think we got the Toms, the like all natural. So yeah, so we've been starting brushing our teeth, which is really cute, and he loves it at home. We do water like in the morning, and then at night we try to use a little bit of the toothpaste and just to get him used to having something in there. But it's pretty fun. Pretty fun. So last week I told you guys that this week you were probably going to have to resubscribe if you were a subscriber because we're moving where our podcast feed comes from. We actually pushed that back a week. So we just got a little busy this week and we didn't quite get to it. So we're pushing it back to next week. So if you next week you get to like Monday and you don't have a notification saying you have a new episode, you may need to just go in there, search for Home Base Podcast and resubscribe. Please resubscribe. Make sure you guys go do that. You don't want to miss. I've got some great episodes coming this way, but we did push that back a week. So, we're going to take a quick break and then we get to come in and talk to Wendy Copley. I'm so excited. Me and Wendy have been talking about doing this episode for a few months now, and I'm so glad we finally got to sit down and talk to each other and make it happen. And it was just really fun, and I think I get super carried away. I love food and nutrition, so I'm so glad we could bring an episode to you guys where we talk about it. So, make sure you guys go get your glasses of wine, your cups of tea, your cup of coffee, or whatever, and snuggle down if your kids are in nap time or maybe you're in the car driving somewhere. But make sure you stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll be back with Wendy. Stay tuned.
Well, guys, we are here with Wendy Copley, who is author of Everyday Bento and Mama, and she is out on the phone with us here in California. Wendy, thanks for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Wendy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, sure. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I'm the mom to two kids. They are aged 11 and age 7, and I pack bentos and do all kinds of crafty things with them and for myself, and that's just sort of the nutshell version.
and they're both boys, right? The 11
yes,
and 7
they are
year old.
Both boys.
Oh, so you guys have that busy, ruckus house that I'm going to have eventually. I have a one-year-old son, and he's just hit that toddler stage, and he's walking, and he's already like a mess. And I'm like, oh, no, we need a girl. We need to balance things out.
Yeah, things are pretty crazy around here most days. We have daily wrestling matches, if not hourly wrestling matches. So
I love it. I love it. So tell us about your book, Everyday Bento, and I'm so curious, like, what was your inspiration? How did you come about even writing this book?
Well, I have been, I've been packing bento for my kids since my oldest son started preschool when he was 3. So that's almost 8 years now, which is kind of mind-boggling when I say that out loud. That's a lot of lunches. And I was blogging at the time when I started, and so it was a natural progression for me to just take pictures of the lunches and put them up on my blog because I was just sort of sharing everything at that time. And they got a pretty good response, and so I just started taking photos and posting the photos every week. And I did that for quite a long time. I don't post them weekly anymore because it ended up being a lot of time and I got busy doing other things. But because of that, it's something I've really enjoyed doing, and I thought it was kind of a natural progression to put everything I'd learned and all the things I'd kind of figured out over the years and put them in a book to help, you know, to help inspire other people and teach them the basics of packing bento boxes.
Oh, yeah. And it's such a beautiful book. I love the book. It's gorgeous. The pictures are so fun. So for people out there that don't know what bento is, can you just kind of explain it to them?
Sure. So bento is a Japanese tradition, and at its core, it's just a box, a packed lunch meant to be eaten on the go. But there's a little bit more to it. It's there are a few sort of fundamentals of packing a bento in Japanese culture. One is that it has a variety of different kinds of foods. Usually when you open it up, you should be able to see everything. So it's all in one container. It's not usually packed in multiple containers. Mm-hmm. And there's a balance of not only is it different kinds of food, it's also different textures, different colors, different flavors, something like that. And so I took what is, you know, that Japanese idea, and I kind of adapted it to my children's American palates. And so what I do is it's not strictly a Japanese bento, but it's definitely inspired by the Japanese idea of bento.
I love that. And what a great tool for kids that are, you know, like I said, I have a one-year-old, so we're like working on getting into eating foods and so you want to, like, present everything. Yeah, it is. It's so fun. Their first taste of everything is just you want to, like, almost record everything.
I know. It's so awesome. You're like, will they love avocado like I do? And then
yes.
It's so disappointing if they don't.
Yeah, we were dumbstruck because our son eats everything. We haven't been able to find one thing that he won't eat. He's an excellent eater. And just the other day, I got raspberries, and I gave him one, and this is the first thing he, like, spit out and will not have anything to do with raspberries. I'm like, no! I thought I was going to have the perfect eater.
Yeah. It's so disappointing when they spit something out. You're like, what? Really?
I worked so hard on that.
Exactly. I washed those raspberries.
I love it. But so it's so fun to find creative ways to present things to them to get them to eat stuff. I just love the whole concept of bento. And so I'm really curious, what was your research process like for the book? Like, did you guys try out things on the boys, or were they already recipes that you were using and you just kind of threw it in a book, or?
Well, it was more of the latter. So everything that I did in the book, with only, I think, maybe one, possibly two exceptions, were brand new for the book. So they weren't things I had specifically done, you know, in our day-to-day lives or had put on my blog or anything like that. But what I did do was I turned to a lot of techniques that I've used over and over and over again throughout the years. So
yeah,
they're just sort of, and that was actually one of my goals with the book, was to show how you can use these basic techniques and you can adapt them for your kids, for their interests, the kinds of foods that they like, and how really kind of versatile they are. So they were things that I've done before, and they were things that my kids have eaten before, but they were not, I didn't reinvent, you know, I didn't, let me rephrase that. There were things that I've done before, but they were not repeats of things that I had actually served them or anything like that.
Okay.
And I really tried to kind of push it, and, you know, there are 50 different bento boxes in the book, so that's a lot of different themes and and basic structures, so some of it had to kind of be outside of things that we'd done before, and also I tried to make sure that there were things that would appeal to girls just as much as boys, and so I'd never packed a ballerina bento box for my
right
kids. You know, that was not or a princess one. They were not interested in. In fact, they still, when they look through the book and they see those, they're like, "Oh, yuck! Never make that for me, Mom." And I'm like,
aww.
"Okay, it's all good."
You should, like, definitely on, like, April Fool's or something. You
yeah,
pack
oh,
them
that
on.
Would be hilarious.
they get to school and all their friends are like, "Oh man, what'd you get today?"
You're like, "A ballet shoe? What are you doing to me, Mom?"
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I love that you took that approach to it, though, because then, I mean, people that have been following you for years, it's like it was something brand new, you know? It's not like they picked up the book and were like, "Oh, I've seen this already." I love that.
Yeah.
A little
definitely.
Extra work, but worth it, I'm sure.
Sure. It was totally fun. It was a really fun creative exercise, too, to kind of think up all these different ideas and themes and ways of reusing different techniques that I'd done before. So
what are some of the, you keep mentioning the techniques without giving away too much of what's in your book. Can you share with us a couple of the techniques that you use?
Yeah, sure. So there are, like, one of the big things is I use a lot of cookie cutters in my bento boxes for my kids. And, you know, I will say that not every single bento box in this book is one that I would do on a typical Tuesday morning when we're in a big rush, because some of them are more complicated than others. But
right.
When it comes down to it, really, it's really no more work to, you know, push a cookie cutter through a sandwich or something than it is to cut it in half with a knife. It's basically the same amount of work to do that, and it makes
exactly.
it just a little bit more fun. So I do a lot with cookie cutters in the book, and I tried to show lots of different ways you can use a cookie cutter. You know, there's the one that I come back to really frequently in our day-to-day life and in the book is cutting a sandwich into a shape with a cookie cutter. And that's pretty basic. But there are other things you can do with cookie cutters, too. You know, you can, you know, one technique I like is I'll take sort of a big wedge of apple and I'll cut, I'll take a smaller cookie cutter and I'll kind of just press it through the skin of the apple. And then
mm-hmm.
I slide a knife under there and I pop off that little piece of skin, and, you know, in a heart shape or a flower shape
oh,
or a star or something pretty simple. But it's just a way of making, you know, just bringing a little bit of extra fun and kind of happiness into the lunchbox. And,
yes.
you know, I also will We'll do that with small, like I'll cut vegetables into shapes or pieces of fruit into shapes with a cookie cutter. And that's another way you can do that. That just it just adds a little pop of something, a little kind of happiness in there. And
Yeah, some whimsy.
exactly, whimsy, perfect word, perfect word.
So, because I love little details like this, do you have cookie cutters that you recommend over others? Like, I'm a cookie cutter fanatic, so I'm
So
curious
am
what you like to
I.
use.
So I actually, when I wrote the book, I cataloged my cookie cutters and I had
Oh, man.
well over 100 because I didn't want to rebuy anything for the book.
Right,
So
yeah.
I was like, this is kind of out of control. So what I do in general, I think you can make a bento with pretty much any kind of cookie cutter. But if someone's first starting out, I personally prefer metal cookie cutters to plastic cookie cutters because they're
Yeah.
a little sturdier, they're a little sharper, they tend to be a little bit deeper, and so you can do a little more with them. But I have never had a plastic cookie cutter that was like didn't work at all or anything like that.
Right.
And then I also recommend that people start off with, because not everyone's starting out with 150 cookie cutters. I recommend that people start off with some basic shapes. So absolutely, I would say the first thing you should do is buy some circle cutters in a couple different sizes. Then, maybe stars or hearts or flowers, really the basics that you can use over and over in lots of different
Right.
ways. And I
Yeah.
also recommend smaller cutters to bigger cutters. So there are some really cool, huge cookie cutters out there, but basically all you're going to be able to cut with them is a sandwich, and
Yeah.
sometimes they're even too big for that. So I like I when I first started, I had some animal cookie cutters, just different a few different animals, and I like something about an inch and a half to an inch in diameter. That's a really great size because it's small, it's bite-sized for the kids, and it's easy to fit everything in the bento box.
Awesome. I have to tell you, one of the things I love when I was going through the book that I love the most is how much you stuck to fresh ingredients in the book. There weren't like prepackaged cheeses and stuff like that. I love that, and thank you for that. I feel like it's refreshing to see. Was that a personal choice for you, or is that more reflecting on the Japanese culture?
I think, I mean, definitely the Japanese bento boxes are going to be filled with a lot of fresh foods. And that's sort of the nature of what they are. But for me, it really was more of a reflection of the way that my family eats and the kind of foods that I make for my kids. It's not necessarily the foods they would choose, but if it were all up to them, but it is a reflection of how, sort of the basic standards that I've set for my family and how we're going to eat at meal times. So, the other factor with that is that part of the reason that I started packing bento boxes in the first place was because I wanted to, like for environmental reasons, I wanted to eliminate a lot of packaging waste.
Yeah.
It's there's some crazy statistic I've read over and over again that says the average elementary school student generates 68 pounds of trash from their lunches every year. And
That's
that,
crazy.
isn't it? That is insane. And if you've ever been in
Insane.
a school lunchroom, you can see, like, the trash bins are overflowing. And so one of my goals was to do that, to eliminate that package waste. And, there's nothing wrong with an applesauce cup or, a little package of crackers or something like that. I'm not judging
Right.
anybody, but, for the fact is that if you're doing that day in and day out, you're just putting a lot of stuff in the landfill or even, sending it to the recycling center. But even so, it's just a lot of resource waste. And so
Yeah.
by sticking with fresher foods, they don't come in packages, or they come in one big package instead of eight small packages that are going to take up a lot of space. And so that's another reason why I try and go with the fresh foods.
Exactly. And I think too, I feel like people a lot of times they go for the prepackaged stuff because it's all about convenience. And One of the things I thought looking at your bento boxes, and I could be wrong, but you can make them ahead, right? Like you can make them the
Yeah,
night
oh yeah,
before.
definitely. I highly recommend that actually, because mornings are busy and it can be hard. I mean, it can be hard, especially if you're doing something a little fancier, putting a little more of the fun stuff in, that it takes a little more time. Although, I mean, I will say I make most of them the same morning myself because I don't always have it together to do it the night before. But if I can, I often we'll try and, I'll take something maybe that's left over from dinner and I'll put that in. And a lot of things really, with the exception of a few things like maybe crackers or something crispy or something like that, almost everything holds up just fine in the refrigerator overnight. And so,
Yeah.
I highly recommend doing that because it makes your morning so much easier and everything goes a little bit more smoothly if the lunches are completely packed or almost packed the night before.
Yeah. I mean, so I feel like really the whole convenience of prepackaged stuff, I mean, if you're doing it the night before, I think it's totally doable. Totally
Yeah.
doable. I love it. I love this whole bento idea. We need to take the world by storm. We need to get everybody packing bento boxes.
Oh,
I'm all
yeah.
about it.
Absolutely.
I started seeing them like show up on Pinterest, and I feel like there's more of it on Instagram. I feel like people are more into taking pictures of their lunches and their plates and making cute faces
Yeah.
and stuff. And I feel like the Pinterest world is still a little behind.
Well, it's interesting because I'm pretty immersed in the whole like bento and the people who blog their lunches and stuff like that. So it's a little, I don't think I'm necessarily the best judge. I do see it a lot on Pinterest, and I get a lot of people visit my blog because of things that they found on Pinterest. But Instagram is great for doing that because it's such a daily and immediate kind of
Yeah.
platform, and so it's so easy to just take a quick picture and post it. And so I definitely see a lot of it on Instagram too.
Yeah,
It's
I agree.
and it's
I
fun. It's
totally
fun to see
agree.
what people are doing and
Yeah.
the creativity. I do love looking at what other people are doing in their bentos because it gives me a lot of inspiration.
Absolutely. So, what challenges do you think? I mean, we kind of briefly talked on prepackaged foods, but what other challenges do you think parents in this day and age kind of face with trying to feed their kids and keep it nutritious?
Well, I'll tell you what one of my biggest challenges has been. When your kids are little, you have a lot of control over what they eat, and they really kind of only know what you give them. And so it's pretty easy to keep them eating good, healthy food because that's what they see. But then when they start school, it's a whole other situation because they start seeing what other people are eating in their lunches, and especially as they get older. I think it's a big struggle for a lot of parents to pack lunches, to keep their kids eating nutritious food, and the peer factor is enormous when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So it's like my kids go to school and their friends might have chips and cookies and candy and juice beverage, not even like
Right.
a whole orange juice, that kind of thing. And they see that and they're really enticed by it. And especially advertisements, everything, it's all so seductive to kids to try and eat these, they're trying to get these kids to want to eat these foods that are not so good for them. And so it's tricky, it's tricky to kind of keep your kids eating healthy. Like, and the older they get, the harder it is. I'll
Yeah.
just tell you, like your son rejecting raspberries, that is, I wish those were the days back
Minimal problems, huh? I'm
Yeah,
in
I mean,
for
I'm not saying it's
it.
not a problem. I'm just saying I look back on those days fondly. So,
Yeah.
one of the and so that's actually one of the places where I think having a fun, cute bento box can really help you out, because
Yeah.
if you make that healthy food super appealing, and the kid is excited to open their lunch at lunchtime, and it really does help kind of combat that the lure of the Lunchable that their friend might be eating or something like that. So
Yeah. So do you think there's I mean, your boys are getting older. Do you feel like they're starting to the bento box isn't working as much anymore? I mean, what do you think age-wise? How
okay.
long will they keep going?
I think, well, I'll tell you, I think that the prime age for super cute bento boxes, in my experience, is preschool up through kindergarten. And then I have my younger son's a first grader now, and I saw the same sort of thing happening with my older son. First grade, they start being, they're still, you could still probably get away with some of the cute stuff, but they're starting to be not quite as into it as they were.
Yeah.
And I found that third grade with my older son was like, that was where it was basically every time I wanted to do something to his lunch, I would say, is this okay? Because, my
Oh.
goal is never to embarrass my kids. And
Right.
now my older son's a sixth grader, and it is absolutely a no-go. Like, he'll let me pack him a cute lunch on Valentine's Day because I like bat my eyes at him, and he's like, yes, okay, fine. And he'll let
Oh.
me do, he'll let me do something cute maybe at Christmas time and on Halloween, major his birthday, that kind of thing.
Right.
But otherwise, he wants it plain. But I will say this, I'm still packing him a bento box every day. It's just not decorated and it's not
Right.
cute. So he's still, it's still going in a, it's still going in a bento style box. It's still lots of different options. It's still, different textures and variety and things like that. So I am still packing bentos every day. It's just the cute part that slowly kind of eases off. Although I've heard that there are some people, especially girls, they'll go for it longer, is what I've heard from some
Yeah.
of my friends who pack bentos, even into middle school or high school. So there's
I
that.
would take one now.
Oh, I would. I actually
I
started packing cute lunches for myself. That's how I started. My husband bought me a bento box for Christmas,
Oh.
and he pointed me to some online galleries. Like, there weren't that many people talking about bento boxes online outside of Japan when I started, because it was a long time ago now. But he pointed me to the, I don't know if you remember the website Flickr. It's still there, but I know people don't use it very much anymore. But there were these bento communities where people would post their bento box photos every day, and that was how I started doing it. I started packing them for myself, and I went total cute for myself, and people would gather around me in the break room at lunchtime to see what I had brought
Oh.
myself. So they are fun, and I still pack myself cute bentos whenever I have the chance to do it. I work at home now, so it's not something I need to do as often. But if we're going out on a trip to the, I don't know, somewhere with my kids on a day off
You're going
school.
to the beach.
Yeah, the
I'm
beach
jealous
or
of you right now, Wendy. I'm sitting here rainy day in the middle of the country. So
Yeah.
talk about the beach. Bring me the ocean.
Well, it's cold here too. It's too cold for the beach.
Oh.
I shouldn't say it's cold. It's too cold for the beach. And it's
Oh.
also raining here. So,
Well,
unfortunately, I don't
I
have
feel
sunny
better
California
now.
stories. Yeah. We're starting up on El Nino here. So, it's starting
Oh.
to really rain a lot. So, which is good though, 'cause we had the drought for so long. So, we're happy, but
Yeah. Well, I totally relate. My husband actually told me just the other day, he's not home very often for lunch, and so when he is home, he's like, "You eat like a middle schooler." He's like, "What is wrong with you? Like, I eat hummus and chips and veggies and fruit, and occasionally we'll have the string cheese or something." And he's like, "I don't think I've ever seen an adult eat like you." And he's like, "You really enjoy it." I'm like, "I think it's great. I love the whole little cutesy lunch idea. I'm all
snacky
for
lunch.
it."
It's great. Snacky lunches are wonderful.
Yes, dinner is like my least favorite of the day. Give me breakfast and lunch and dinner. I'm like, oh, I have to actually cook something.
Funny.
I love though that you included a grown-up section in the book. I think that's awesome because it's like you said. I feel like if everybody gathering around you at work to see your lunchbox. I feel like as adults, if we put more time into packing our lunch and making it fun, what better choices we would make, right?
Oh,
At work
I have to
time.
tell you, I make so much better choices if I'm packing my lunch in advance. I actually sometimes, when I'm sort of on a, I'm trying to eat healthier, I'll pack my own lunch when I pack my kids' lunches. And even though I'm home all day, I'll just pull it out and I'm much more likely to eat better because it's all ready to go. I don't have to think something up. And I've already put the thought into, making a balanced lunch for my kids, and I do it for myself, and it really improves the way I eat at lunchtime. Because I'd like to say that I'm eating like a middle schooler, but sometimes it's not even that good. when I'm busy or something, I'm just going and grabbing the first thing I find in the kitchen. And so packing a lunch in advance, it makes a huge difference, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know. I think to all the years, I stay home now, with my little guy, but all the years that I went to work in the workplace, and how many times was it like, oh, I'll just find something there. Someone will bring in donuts, or I'll go down the road and pick something up at McDonald's, or the leftovers from dinner the night before. It's never as good as it could be. So I love that you have the adult section in there. I think it is definitely some inspiration to be a little better.
Oh, good.
So what is, you said your 7-year-old is still doing the cutesy lunches. What is his favorite lunch from the book?
I think, well, it changes. He actually loves to look at, and a lot of kids, one thing I didn't expect was that a lot of people are buying the book for their kids, which makes perfect sense in retrospect.
It does.
Because
I
I
love
wrote
that.
it with the idea of doing it for parents, but I've heard from so many people who they bought the book for themselves and their kids have just sort of taken it over and looked through it, and the kids have started making their own lunches, which is exciting and fun to hear because,
That's super exciting.
yes, I love it. I love that. And so my little guy, he looks through the book pretty, not every day anymore, a lot more when it first came out because it's been out
Oh.
for a while. But he switches it up a little. But I'm guessing right now he probably would like the Lego lunch the best because he's really into Legos. It
I
has a lot
love
to
the
do with,
Lego lunch. I thought that
yeah,
was
what he's
so
into at
cute.
the time. And so that's one that he likes a lot. And my older son, when I was writing it, I bounced a lot of ideas off of him because he was a little bit older. My little guy was kind of young. He had ideas too, though. But
Aww.
my older son, he specifically loves, there's a dog, a puppy lunch in the book, and my older son takes ownership of that one. That's his favorite because he came up with a lot of the ideas. He said there should be a bowl of water, and then he came up with the idea of having fire hydrants for the dog in there.
Oh, that's so
So
sweet.
he likes that one because I think he kind of looks at it as one that he made up, so for the book. So that's kind of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You know, someday when he has a girlfriend, he's totally gonna like use that, right? He's gonna like bring her over home and be like, "Look, I wrote this right here. I made
Yeah,
this in my mom's."
totally.
That's so sweet, though. I love that. So, what is your favorite in the book?
Oh, that's hard. Let me think. One I really like a lot. I love the robot lunch that's made out of a hot dog. That one's one of my favorites. And I actually love the rock and roll lunch. That one was a fun one. It's kind of simple. It's that lunch. It's just like it's a sandwich cut into the shape of a guitar and some sort of a cheese decoration. But I really like how it came out. I love the rec. There's a little record which my son was like, "What's that?" And I was like, maybe I'm dating myself by putting an LP in there." But
No, they're
so
coming
he's
back.
never seen one. And I was like, "Okay." But I like the way the vegetables are arranged in that one. That one,
Yeah.
that's one I like too.
That's
So
awesome.
I like the hedgehog lunch too. There's a
Yes,
little,
that one's my favorite. I love the hedgehog one.
yeah, I like that one too. I think that hedgehog is quite cute, if I do say so myself. I think
he's
a little
so cute.
Cute.
And what are the little mushrooms? Are they
radishes? Radishes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I love the mushrooms. I was like, that is so, so stinking clever. I love it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Awesome stuff. So are we going to see a Everyday Bento 2? Are there any more Bento books coming this way?
Well, nothing's in the pipeline right now, but it's definitely something that could happen, something I've been thinking a lot about lately. So there's, you know, it's not at the printer or anything fun like that, but so maybe, yes, maybe in the future.
That would be awesome. Super
yeah.
Awesome. So where can our listeners find Everyday Bento, and also where can they find you so they can continue to follow you in your awesome journey?
Well, you definitely should try your local bookstore to see if Everyday Bento is there. I would always recommend that you start there first and support your booksellers. But you can also, if you can't find it locally very easily, you can always look for it on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. It's sold. Powell's Bookstore has a good website, and they sell it too. So you can always look there. And then as far as where I am at, my blog is wendolonia.com, and that's spelled WENDOLONIA.com. And I'm also very active on social media. So you can, and everywhere I am, I'm Wendolonia. So you can find me on Facebook as Wendolonia, on Instagram, on Twitter, on, I feel like, oh, Pinterest. I'm an active pinner. And I think I'm on Google Plus somewhere still, but I don't usually go there. I have to be honest about that one.
What's so, that?
Yeah, exactly. I know I have an account, but I don't even remember the last time I posted there. So maybe not the best place to look for me over there.
Wendy, we need to get you on Periscope. Are you on Periscope?
You know what? I'm not, and I need to be. I've been meaning to kind of get it going, and it's just one of those things where I've just had a lot going on, and it's on my list. I rewrite it on my to-do list for the month, every single month for like the last 3 or 4 months, and so hopefully soon I'll be on Periscope. I'm trying to get that going. So
yeah, that would be awesome. I know, though. It is. It's like one of those things. There's so much social media out there. At some point, you're like, okay, I gotta take a break from this and this.
Yeah.
I know I was on Periscope for a while, and I'm like, it was taking up too much of my day.
It is fun, and I would love to get some. And Bento is such a great thing to do. It would be
yes.
Such a good thing to do on Periscope. It's a natural match. Oh, I'm also on YouTube. I forgot. I have YouTube videos too.
You
so,
are on YouTube. I didn't know that. See, and I thought I had checked everywhere. So yay. Okay, so you're
yeah.
on YouTube.
So I am there, so it's worth looking there for videos. And I've got
awesome.
Like I haven't posted anything for a while, but I do have a pretty good, I mean, it's not hundreds of videos, but I think I have a dozen or so videos of
good selection for people that are more the visual people, got to see you do it to understand.
Yes, exactly. And I actually I have 5 videos that are step by step of the bentos of some of the bentos from the book that I made when the book first came out. So
awesome.
If you want to see exactly how something was made from the book, you can see that on YouTube. So
perfect. And I have to say, you guys have to follow this lady on Instagram, because I started following her, and your Instagram feed is so fun. Your family looks like you just have a ball all the time. I kind of want to just come and like vacation with you guys and out there. That just
yeah.
looks like a lot of fun.
Sure, come on by. We'll have you on their next vacation. You can just sit between
perfect.
The kids in the back seat. It'll keep them from fighting.
Yes, yes. I'll sit in the middle. I can throw some elbows if needed.
Excellent, excellent.
All right, well, Wendy, we're going to let you go. And listeners, you guys stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our parenting hack this week and our mommy mantra. So make sure you guys stay tuned.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Megan. I want to tell you about our Patreon page. Patreon is a website where you can go and donate to support special projects like the podcast you're listening to right now. And when you go and support Homebase, you will be helping me do things to grow the podcast, like buy new equipment, open a swag shop on our website, or even bring the show to a city near you. Not only that, but depending on how much you support, you may even be hooked up with some super special exclusive swag of your very own. So head over to patreon.com/homebasepodcast to check it out and show Homebase some lovin'. Hey guys, we're back. Isn't Wendy fun? I had so much fun talking to her. Wendy, if you're listening, thanks so much again for doing that. That was awesome. And I think it's so true. Just if you guys put a little extra effort into your kids' lunches, I think it makes the world of difference. And I really think you can really influence what they eat and hopefully keep it going up until they're in their preteens. So our parenting hack this week is kind of along those lines. I wouldn't necessarily say it's like super fun because I only have a 1-year-old, so I don't really have to make his food like super fun right now. But I've been really loving making him these scrambled eggs for the past few weeks. I just threw them together one night and it was so easy, and now I'm kind of addicted to them and he loves them. So I was like, I'm going to share them with you guys. So they're very straightforward and simple. I just take you can use a non-stick skillet or whatever, or pan, not a skillet. You're going to take a non-stick pan. My pans are not non-stick because they've had some years on them. So I use a little butter, or you could do coconut oil if you want to go the healthier route. To me, he's a baby. He needs that little extra fat, so I tend to go for the butter. But so throw a little butter or coconut oil in your pan, unless it is non-stick, and melt that down. And then I tend to do 3 to 4 eggs. I have found that 3 eggs, if I'm making this for my son and for myself for like dinner or breakfast or whatever, I feel like that's a good amount for both of us to eat together. But if I'm just making a bunch of it, because I love making a bunch of this and then just putting the leftovers in the fridge, I do like 4 eggs. But you could do as many as you want. This recipe, just you can do it with as many eggs as you want. So take your eggs and you're going to put them in a bowl with some whole milk, or depending where your kids are at, maybe you guys are drinking skim. I know when they're little, they're supposed to drink whole milk, so that's what we drink. So I put my whole milk in with the eggs and I whisk them up until they're nice and frothy. And I pour them in the pan and then I just kind of rough chop up some spinach and I just put it right on top, and then I scramble those eggs up. And voila, there they are. You can leave them in the pan instead of scrambling them up. Once you put the spinach on top, you can just take that pan and put it in your oven if your pan is capable of doing that. I know some pans you're not supposed to put them in the oven, but you can put it right in the oven and just cook it like a frittata if you want to, and then just kind of cut it up into pieces and serve it to your kiddos, or cut it with some cool cookie cutters and make some fun shapes. But we've just been scrambling it because it's a lot less time and it's super quick and easy, and like I said, he's 1, so he doesn't really care. He just likes picking up stuff and putting it in his mouth. So, but I make a big bunch of these and he loves them, and they're so nutritious because you got the protein from the eggs and the milk. You've got all those great fats and healthy nutrients in the whole milk. And I don't know about you other, breastfeeding moms or even moms that are doing formula. We've been struggling trying to get him to drink the whole milk. He's not wanting to give up the breast milk. And when I try to give him like a cup of whole milk, he'll take a drink and then throw it to the floor. So this is a nice way to kind of sneak some of those healthy fats into his diet, and he doesn't have to drink them. And then obviously the spinach, there's all sorts of wonderful nutrients in there. So it's a really healthy meal. It's satisfying. And it keeps really well. So whatever I make, I just serve him a little bit of it. I make it for dinner a lot just because it's quick and easy, and the evenings get kind of crazy around here. But obviously, scrambled eggs are always good at breakfast, and we actually had them for lunch today. But I just serve him whenever I make it. I give him a portion to eat, and then I put the rest in the fridge, and I just pull them out. And you could heat them up if you wanted to. He eats them cold. I like cold scrambled eggs. I know I'm weird. I'll eat eggs in any form, in any way. I would eat them raw. I love eggs. So we eat the scrambled eggs cold. They're so good. And I mean, this recipe is really basic. You could totally jazz it up for some of your older kids and put some, like, shred some Monterey Jack cheese on top of them and serve them with salsa. It would be delicious, or some pico de gallo. But yeah, I'm one of those mean moms. I don't really do a lot of sauces and stuff. I'm like, that sounds messy. If I can't cook it in it and he pick it up and it not make a mess, then I don't serve it. So, but that is my parenting hack this week. I'm addicted to them. They're super easy. They take like 5 minutes, if that, to make, and he loves them. And I think you guys could really, I mean, it's a super simple recipe, and you could change it so much. Instead of doing spinach, you could do peppers, or I think sun-dried tomatoes would be delicious. I think it's a great, easy way to introduce new flavors and it not be super upfront and in their face. So, our mommy mantra this week isn't really a mantra, or a quote or anything like that. I found this on Pinterest and I love it so much. I had to share it with you guys, and I'll be sharing it on social media. I have no idea who wrote this, but I'm obsessed with it to the point where I've printed it off and put it on our fridge because I think it's just a great reminder. And I also think you could put it on your lock screen on your phone or use it as a wallpaper on your computer or something. But anyway, so it is called a note to self, and it goes a little something like this: treat yourself the way you would treat a small child. Feed yourself healthy food. Make sure you spend time outside. Put yourself to bed early. Let yourself take naps. Don't say mean things to yourself. Don't put yourself in danger. Your skull and your heart are still as fragile as eggshells. Isn't that cute and slightly brilliant? Like, I read this and it just really resonated with me so much because I'm one of those people, I would never say something mean or hateful to anyone, but I say mean and hateful things to myself all the time. And I remember when I taught mainly in preschool, I remember, like, the kids, if they would say something mean about themselves or get down on themselves, I would like tell them, I would get down at their level and be like, I don't want to hear you talk about yourself like that because you're great and that's not okay. And and I'm like, why do I let myself do that if I don't let others do that to themselves? I mean, I know my kid doesn't talk, but if I ever heard him, when he gets older, talking bad about himself, I'd be like, no, you're great. I don't want to hear you say that. So I just love that part of it. And then obviously, yeah, the eating healthy food and the playing outside, I think, is a big one. Like, how much, playing outside, that's what our kids do. But we could go out and adult play outside. We can go for walks and run or go hiking or, if you're into geocaching or you know what that is, me and my husband love to geocache. And there's so much stuff you could do outside. But I mean, you always make sure if it's warm enough, your kids get some outside time, right? Like, that's like a priority in your day slash your, like, freedom when you can get them away from you for a little bit and you can get some sanity time. But we need to make sure we're doing that for ourselves. And how much better would our lives be and our mental states be if we did treat ourselves like little 4 and 5 year olds and gave ourselves nothing but love and care? And I just think it could go a long way. And I love this because I thought, what a great week to share this, because me and Wendy were talking about how, we really need to, as adults, if we put more care into our lunches and, into every meal, really, but I mean specifically into lunchtime. I feel like lunchtime's that meal you rush through it. It's all about convenience, and I think if we put some more care and love into lunchtime, we might be more apt to go outside. We might be more apt to be nicer to ourselves during the day or take naps and be present and be in those moments. So I love this. You guys will have to keep an eye out for it on Instagram and Twitter. It'll be up there so you guys can go save it. And if you want to find it super easy, you can just head over to homebasepodcast.com and you can click at the top mantras and you will see a picture of every single one of our mantras ever. And you guys can save them and share them to your heart's content. You can pin them. You can do whatever you want. So go crazy. Check it out. For those of you that haven't gone and check out the new website, you have to get over there, homebasepodcast.com. It's beautiful. Yes, that's my little munchkin on the front. Daddy had to like really twist my arm. He's like, "Put him on the front page. Put him on the front. You can do it." I'm like, I'm so protective of putting him out there on the internet. Like I hate it when other people post pictures of him. I'm like, "That's my baby." Oh. So, Daddy finally talked me into it, and it does. It looks great, and I'm so proud of having him up there because I love this podcast, and I do. I pour my soul into it, and so just to have those two worlds collide is just awesome. You guys have been awesome. Just the response we've gotten since we launched the new website has just been amazing. I want to thank every one of you for the support and the emails and the love on Twitter and Instagram. You guys are amazing and you guys make my day. Every single one of those comments just makes me feel so good. It's you guys are why I do it. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make sure you guys do go find Wendy and follow her. She is a hoot and her Instagram feed is it's really fun. You guys got to go follow her. She's awesome. And make sure you go and get your copy of Everyday Bento. Like she said, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it at all your major booksellers online. Go check your local bookstores first. You also can find it on iTunes. So go snatch it up because it's an awesome book and I just love it. So go check it out. All right, guys, that's all I've got for you this week. Next week, we're going to talk more about being present. And then the week after that, I have an episode for all you ladies out there. We're talking about beauty products. I'm going to share with you my top lists of what I use. And if you guys have ever seen pictures of me, I'm not one of those people that wears like gobs of makeup or anything. And I don't know if I've talked about it very much, but before I was a teacher, because I've had millions of different careers and jobs, it seems like, but before I was a teacher, I actually was a cosmetologist for quite a few years, and that's what I did for a very long time. And so hair care is kind of my thing. So I'm going to be sharing with you guys my top tips, top products, and all of that, how to make you feel good and your skin look great and your hair awesome. So that episode is coming, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to do one. 'Cause come on, we're all moms out here, except for those dads that are listening. And dads, you're awesome. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. You just might not be as interested in that episode here coming up in 2 weeks. But you know what? You should listen to it because there's probably some stuff in there you could get for your wife, right? Or whatever woman is in your life that you want to show some love to. All right, guys, you guys take care, and I will talk to you and see you soon. Bye.